Welcome to the Potter Marsh Summer Podcast, an audio tour of one of Alaska's most popular wildlife viewing spots. In this podcast, brought to you by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and Audubon Alaska, we'll learn about birds and the busy breeding and nesting season at the marsh. We're lucky to have with us wildlife biologist and representative from Anchorage Audubon, Serena Brownlee, who shares her contagious enthusiasm for this interesting season.
There's quite a diversity of birds that nest here. We get canvasbacks that nest here, greater scaup, redneck grebes, mallards, American widgeons, Canada geese, occasionally redneck phalaropes, greater and lesser yellowlegs breed here. We also get bald eagles. Occasionally, there's a Pacific loon that nests on the south side of the marsh.
But wait, there's more. Pat Porchot, one of Alaska's top birders who works for Audubon Alaska, is also with us. The list of breeding birds goes on.
And then around the fringes of the marsh, in the alder and in the willow, you get warblers, northern water thrush, yellow warbler, yellow rump warbler in some of the taller trees. Then sparrows, Lincoln sparrows, there are white-crowned sparrow, and then in the marsh itself, a lot of savanna sparrows, and flycatchers, alder flycatcher, western wood peewee.
And what is it that brings migrating birds here, either to nest or feed? Why do they make the long trip north to Alaska?
During the short summer season, you have, of course, lots of light, which gives rise to lots of lush vegetation, which harbors lots of bugs. And so you have a good combination of available habitat, lots of daylight, lots of vegetation, and lots of bugs. And it's a real attraction.
One of the most amazing birds that nests at the marsh is the Arctic tern. They are the marathon flyers of migrating birds.
The Arctic terns do have one of the world's foremost migrations. They migrate 22,000 to 31,000 miles, depending on where they end up. In Alaska, they travel as far north as the North Slope to breed. And, you know, they come here for the abundant resources. There's the food resources here are top-notch. And they come back every year to, you know, the same spot to breed and to feed their chicks. They also, on their southward migration, these guys head all the way back to Antarctica, all the way back to the tip of South America, down into Antarctica, and spend the winters on the pack ice out there. So these guys, Arctic terns, actually have perpetual summer, if you think about their migration pattern, because they come up for the Arctic summer, and then they migrate down to the Antarctic during the Antarctic summer. So they're in perpetual summer year-round, which I just think is fascinating.
And now we spot one.
There's an Arctic tern behind us hovering. It looked like he was just getting ready to go dive for a fish. Now these Arctic terns will be gone in another week or two. You won't see any more Arctic terns. By end of July, they're on their way south.
Nesting eagles are one of the big draws for birders. Most summers, there's an eagle nest visible from the end of the new boardwalk.
There it is. Oh, there's one very mature-looking chick sitting on the outside of the nest. So these guys are close to being ready to fledge. And I see one chick, but there may be two. And the adults will feed these guys until even after they leave the nest. And these guys usually leave, the young bald eagle chicks usually leave the nest by end of July, mid-August, depending on when they start. And their nest is in a nice big cottonwood tree. Beautiful, beautiful nest. You want to take a look?
Yeah.
With binoculars, you can sometimes see bald eagles feeding their chicks at the nest. You can also see eagles hunting other birds or other birds trying to fend off eagles.
The adult bald eagle is flying back towards the nest, and you can already tell that she's riled up some mewgulls. The mewgulls tend to not get along with the bald eagles very well, and you can see the mewgull is actually mobbing the adult bald eagle right now. Wow.
bald eagle. The gulls are really on it. Wow. The bald eagle will prey on young birds and ducklings and young gulls. They're always looking for easier prey, and adult ducks, adult birds are usually pretty tricky for a bald eagle, but they can have pretty good success with hatchlings and young birds. He just took a swoop at a duck out there.
Oh,
it's coming
yeah.
back
Look
again.
At that.
Next, we spotted a few of Serena's favorite birds.
There's the kingfisher. There it comes. There's the kingfisher.
All right.
Belted kingfisher. They have a really interesting rattle call when they fly over that they make. The belted kingfisher is a really neat bird. They hover over the water and then dive headfirst into the water to catch fish and minnows. And then they'll come back up and eat the fish whole on a perch. And they'll perch here along the boardwalk. They nest in stream banks. Along Rabbit Creek, there are a couple areas where they can actually burrow into the stream banks and build their nests. It's a really neat bird.
Besides eagles, red-necked grebes are another main attraction that can be seen from the new boardwalk.
The redneck grebes are my favorite, and the redneck grebes breed here on the marsh and feed their chicks minnows and small fish in the marsh. They're really fun to watch, especially during the early summer when they're doing their breeding displays, because they have this elaborate breeding display where they kind of come up out of the water and do this little dance. It's very, very beautiful.
During breeding season, male birds are usually the ones that sport more colorful plumage than females. But occasionally, males are more drab-looking than females and take on more parenting duties than usual. So it is with red-necked phalaropes, which are occasional nesters at the marsh.
And they're a real interesting shorebird. They're one of the few, if only, shorebird I can think of that actually swim in the water. You see them swimming like a duck. But they are a shorebird, and they often swim in tight little circles, kind of whirligig as it's been described. And they're stirring up insects and eating insects that either come off the bottom or on the top, and they kind of round up the insects and feed, and so they have a very distinctive feeding style.
This is one of the cool things about the boardwalk, is that you can stand within, 10 yards of that bird and watch him going about his business.
Yeah, we're right above this little lesser yellow legs, and he's not concerned with our presence at all, and we're able to watch him feed as he normally would. He's feeding along the shore of this little stream, feeding on little aquatic invertebrates and probably little clams. And we were just talking about how to tell a lesser yellow legs versus a greater yellow legs. His bill length is about the size of his head from the back of his head to the base of the bill. So that's how you tell the lesser. Now the greater has a bill that's twice as long as the length of the back of his head to the base of the bill and slightly upturned at the end. And these guys are both pretty common. The greater yellow legs and the lesser are pretty common breeders around the Anchorage area. And the yellow legs that are the bird's namesake make the bird very distinguishable from other shorebirds that you may have out here in this area. There's not a lot of other long-legged yellow shorebirds that we would get out here at the marsh.
Nearby in the trees, we found this hungry baby bird.
Ah, there's a young Lincoln sparrow there begging. You can see he's chasing the adult, and he's got his mouth gaping, begging for food. The adults have their job cut out for them, trying to keep all the young fed this time of year.
And with that, we'll say goodbye for now. Thanks to Pat Brichot and Serena Brownlee for leading us on this audio tour. And thanks to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for providing funding. Check back with us in autumn to learn about the fall migration and the swans that gather at Potter Marsh on their way south.